Would you bow with me as we prepare our hearts and minds for the message this morning? Amen. Amen. We are going to talk about resurrection today. Oh, but you knew that. We are going to talk about fear today. And with those two together, we're going to talk about resurrection in the face of fear. You know fear. We all know fear. Fear is one of the most important protective emotions that we have. It is basic and it is deep. We all know fear. But there's a difference. There's a difference between the kind of fear that just hits you suddenly and then leaves, and then the fear that is deep-seated and becomes a part of your life and how you react to everything around us. We do not have to live in fear. We always have to live with fear, but never in. Today I want you to come with me as we explore the emotional ride that Jesus was on and the emotional ride that the early disciples experienced. In order to do this, you're going to have to engage your imagination with me. I'm not going to tell you what to feel. I'm not going to tell you what to believe on this. I'm going to ask you the question, and then your imagination is going to have to take it and run with it. Come with me onto a week ago Sunday. In Jesus' life, Jesus entered into Jerusalem during the Passover on Palm Sunday, what we know as Palm Sunday. Jerusalem was filled to the brim. Jerusalem had thousands of people in there, and Jesus rode in on a donkey. The crowds cheering. What were Jesus' emotions? What was he feeling? All right, now realize this. In all of that hoopla, Jesus was being watched. Jesus was being watched very, very closely by the Jewish leaders, but also by the Roman government. And it's helpful at this point to remember this. It was the Roman government that killed Jesus, not the Jewish leaders. Much as the leaders were in favor of that, they did not do it. There is only one authority that can crucify someone, and that is the Roman government. And there is only one reason why the Roman government would choose that. This was the most brutal form of execution they knew of. It was public, it was humiliating, it was excruciating. The only people that they used were those who were rebelling against the Roman government. They call it sedition. Those who were involved in sedition, and they were watching. After that time in Jerusalem, Jesus and his disciples went back out to the town of Bethany. The next morning, Monday morning, they came back to Jerusalem, went up to the Temple Mount, that huge space that where the temple was, and they began talking with people, teaching, healing. What was Jesus feeling? Tuesday. Jesus went again up onto the Temple Mount, into the courts, into those places where he could talk with men, women, old, young, from Jerusalem and from those all around the empire. What was Jesus feeling? And oh, by the way, he was being watched. The Jewish leaders were watching him. The Roman government was watching him. Wednesday, Jesus came into Jerusalem and into the temple again, but this time, this is the day that we have recorded that Jesus went into the area where the money changers were. And taking those tables, Jesus flipped them. What was Jesus feeling? Now, what I want you to see inside of all of this is that his range of emotions were huge. It's the same emotions that you and I would have. He knew he was being watched. Thursday. I don't think they went to the temple on Thursday, but they were in Jerusalem. And as the day wore on, they went down into the living quarters, into those areas of town where the housing was, and they had identified a larger room upstairs in one of the houses where they could celebrate supper together. Now, mind you, this was Thursday. It was not Friday. Friday was Passover. Thursday was Passover, and they were celebrating this meal together. This was the closest that Jesus was going to get to that Passover meal. And in that meal, all the disciples came and they gathered around the table, not seated at the table. This would have been a low table where you reclined. Their heads were toward each other. What was Jesus feeling? And in this, in that time together, Jesus warned them to say, "One of you is going to betray me." What was Jesus feeling? He was being watched. Oh, not by the Jewish leaders this time, not by the Roman government this time. He was being watched by a spy, Judas, who would betray him. He knew he was being watched. And after supper, Jesus and three of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, walked out of Jerusalem down into an area where there is an olive grove. We know it as Gethsemane. Judas did not go with them. Judas went another direction, and there and then the wheels were set in motion. And hours later, Jesus and Judas would meet again, this time as the soldiers came. What was Jesus feeling? And Jesus was arrested, the disciples scattered, Jesus was taken down into Jerusalem. Throughout that night, he was detained, he was tortured, he was beaten. He was put through a kangaroo court, an illegal court. And he was being watched, the Jewish leaders and the Roman government. And on Friday, Jesus was paraded through town carrying his own crossbeam, whipped and stripped, nailed excruciatingly to a cross. What was Jesus feeling? Do you think that Jesus felt fear? And the answer is absolutely yes. So many times we have this belief that we just don't think through that says, well, you know, Jesus was the Son of God and he did know step by step what was going to happen and that he would be crucified. You know what? It doesn't matter how much he knew or he did not know. There was fear. Deep fear. And Jesus died. All right, now let me ask you this. What do you think at 3:00 on a Friday afternoon as Jesus breathed his last that the disciples were feeling? Do you think there was fear? Absolutely. They would have been terrified because they knew that it wasn't just Jesus who was being watched. They were being watched. The Jewish leaders and the Roman government were watching them. Whew. And they ran and they hid. They ran and they hid. Friday night. The vast majority of the Jewish population in Jerusalem was gathered around the table as the sun set and Sabbath began, and they began the ritual that was Passover. But not the disciples. They were in shock. They were terrified. They were hiding. And the night passed with little or no sleep. And Saturday came. What were the disciples feeling? Saturday night, Sunday morning. Mary gets up before dawn. I'm kind of guessing she didn't get up. I'm guessing she didn't have any sleep to begin with. She stayed up. And getting the supplies that she needed, the ointments, the cloths, everything that she needed to properly clean and wrap Jesus' body for burial, she took those with her and she went down to the garden where Jesus was entombed. What was Mary expecting? What do you think Mary was feeling? There would have been this numbness. Do you think Mary felt fear? Absolutely. And then the weirdest thing happened. What was Mary expecting when she went down to the tomb? She was expecting to see a rock blocking the doorway. But she went alone, or maybe with a small group of other women who were expecting there to be soldiers there who would help her move the stone. And instead, there was nobody. There was nobody around, and really strangely, there was no stone in front of the door. If that shock had happened to you, what would have been your initial emotion? Confusion. Fear. Fear. What I want you to see is that on that day, fear came hand in hand with resurrection. And Mary went and saw that Jesus' tomb had been opened. And it was not until a little bit later when she met Jesus that her tomb was opened. Resurrection is not just something that we wait and give for Jesus 2,000 years ago. Resurrection, the power of resurrection, lies in the fact that you and I are resurrected. Lies in the fact that our tombs have not yet been opened, and lies in the fact that our tombs can be opened. But in order for that to happen, something has to die. What has to die? Well, how about we start with fear? What are you fearing lately? Here's what I'm noticing inside of this pandemic. There is a lot of fear out there. Now, sometimes that fear is just in a low-grade anxiety. Sometimes it's in confusion. Sometimes it surfaces in anger or frustration. But that fear is out there. What do you fear? If I were to say to you, do you fear getting the virus? Most of us in some way, shape, or form would say, well, sure. But I want you to see this. Dread and fear function like a snowball. The more dread and fear that we have, the more it rolls downhill, the more dread and fear it picks up until we see this hugeness about it. So, I'm seeing people who are scared of stuff that has nothing to do with the virus itself. For instance, I talked with a family this week, and the fear, this was one of the grandfathers that I know, and his fear was about his wife. He was afraid what would happen if I would get the virus, and then I would have to be hospitalized. I don't know, will my insurance cover all of that? Will that be okay? What if I get sick and don't know it? What if I fear? The fear was, what if I give it to my wife? What if I give it to my children or my grandchildren? The fear of being contagious. Realize these are different fears. They're all related, but they're all part of that dread and fear snowball that just keeps moving and working. And then he began to fear, and he thought, oh my gosh, what if I was sick and went in for extended care in the hospital? Or, worst yet, what would happen if I would die? Then who would take care of my family? Am I okay? Do I dare call my finance people? What do I do? And the fear grows bigger and bigger each day. We live with the dread and the fear that snowballs. Today is a day of resurrection. And what that means is that if the tomb is to be opened, then our tomb is to be opened. And in order to do that, we have to roll the stone away. And that stone, for many of us, absolutely is fear. Absolutely is. Now, I don't know what your specific fear is. I don't know what your specific dread, anger, frustration. There's a million different variations of it. But I want to take you into the book of Galatians and give you this verse, Galatians 2:20. And the Apostle Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified. Let me break that down with you. Because what this means is that if we are going to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, it means that along with Christ being crucified, I have to be crucified. You have to be crucified. Something in you has to die. And what I want to tell you today, that you can choose to let die, is your fear. What? Yeah. You can choose to let your fear die. How do you choose? Because it feels like we have no choice. We do have a choice. What we do is to surrender ourselves to God. What this means in this moment of resurrection is that you have to let go. You have to let go. Let go of that fear. Let go of being in control. What are we afraid of? We're afraid that we don't have control. We're afraid that things will happen to us that we don't want. And if we could avoid it, oh, Father, let this cup pass from me. Yeah. If we could do that, that'd be perfect. We get to let go because the fear that we live with is temporary. We do not have to live in fear. Day in and day out, we live with this fear that can be passing. It's time for it to die. And what that means is that it's time for your crucifixion and your resurrection. It's time for you. Beyond the fear, our tombs are opened. Beyond the fear, we have the ability to let go. What does this mean? Oh, sure, easier said than done. Let me give you this focus. First of all, it can be really powerful for you in your own faith life to literally envision letting go. What is it that you let go of? What is it that you can literally speak to God and say, God, I can't control this. I can't do this. Would you please take it? I give it to you. Lord, I give you my fear. I give you my concern. I give you my worry. I give you my anger. I give to you. You can choose to release this to God and to let go. For I have been crucified with Christ. It is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I have been crucified. You have been crucified. If that's true, then what am I going to see in you? I should be seeing joy. I should be seeing gratitude. I should be seeing humility. Not reaching out, not scrambling, not trying to control, but simply offering ourselves to Christ. Knowing that God can take away that fear, and what that leaves in us is that openness. Our tombs have been opened, and there is this openness that says there is joy in life right now. And you don't have to be overwhelmed and living in fear. Let it go. that says you don't have to be overwhelmed. You can simply live in gratitude. What are you thankful for today? What are the little things that you have to be thankful for? Focus on those. What are the things that you don't have to be in control of? And that means that you can simply live in humility. Just let it go. You don't have to be in control. Jesus knew fear, and he had no choice but to let it go. The disciples knew fear, and they had no choice but to let it go. Mary knew fear, and she chose to let it go. All of their tombs, when they let go, were opened. And this is the invitation that I have for you. Resurrection and fear go hand in hand, and it is when we let go of fear that that stone is rolled away, and what's left is resurrection. May it be that this week you live, that you live resurrection. No fear. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me? So, Lord, I pray today for each one of us who is watching and listening. Lord, you know the fear that we live with. You know how deep this goes. So we pray that you would take it away, that you would help us to let it go, that you would help us day by day, sometimes hour by hour, to release it. Lord, we pray that you might help us to live then in joy and gratitude and humility. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen.